I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Oh boy. He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
Dada.
Watching Max make big play after big play and be the guy that LeBron calls over and like, you have Steph Curry on you, you are the screener. Everyone else get out of the way. It's you and me, we're dancing here. And you know, Max caught it and got a finish over Dennis. Even did the LeBron and one at the end of it, you know, which is cool. Yeah. And this is grown-up basketball. They put Max Christie on Steph Curry, and they're like, it's your job to chase him around. It's on you. And I thought he was fantastic. And Steph Curry is the type of guy where you have to kind of live with the shots he takes, right? And I thought, like, the shots that he got up, at least the last two, were a leaning corner three that was felt like a prayer, and then the long 40-footer. But other than that, I thought they made his life as tough as you could. You didn't put him to the line very much. He didn't get others going as much. He got all his points from like just bombing threes, and I think you have to kind of live with that. But no, Max definitely helps Austin. And one part I forgot to add, Anthony, to why I think this feels more consistent: they're not switching everything. Like everything's not a switch. It's, you know, more of a traditional drop coverage type defense that has guys who can chase over. Austin, you mentioned, isn't a great defender, but he fights. There's a level of competitiveness that he puts out on the defensive end. He's going to get cooked from time to time. We saw it in the Olympics, and we see it here and there when teams try to pick on him. But he does compete on that end, and Max gives you a like athlete at that, you know, other spot. So we saw it with Dalton. The league adjusts to you and you got to adjust back. And I think Dalton's going through that process right now. Max will go through that as well. But this is a very huge step for him to becoming a starter and being a consistent, like, double digit scoring starter. That's huge. And while he gives all that defensive help. So Max has been great, and I think he's like been the key that has kind of balanced everything else, and the whole roster makes a lot more sense.
The Lakers, so they had that overtime loss in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
134-132 was that final there. Ooh. Max Christie played 31 minutes in that one. Max started the next game against Portland. Mm-hmm. And I believe has been in the starting group since. Since then, they gave up 98 points to Portland. They gave up 97 points in a loss, but still 97 points to Minnesota. Gave up 116 to Memphis, which was obviously a little high. They gave up 110 to Memphis, and then 100 to Sacramento, which is holding Sacramento to 100 right. points. Is really good. Then they did it again. They held Sacramento to 99 points there. Detroit got away from them. Bad loss there, obviously. 117 points to Detroit is a tough one. Though I think the 117 point total was more of a turnover problem than a half-court defense problem. And then, you know, gave up 113 to Golden State, but Golden State was really desperate there at the end, had some garbage time buckets and some miracle threes to help get them to that total. And you know, like you mentioned Gabe getting to match up against Dennis Schroeder, and Gabe has been fantastic recently over the last like couple weeks or so. And I think that has a lot to do weirdly with Max starting and Gabe getting a role that he now gets to focus on, and he looks a lot better. Obviously Dalton has still really struggled, so he's kind of sort of out of the rotation. But if you essentially, like, if I was to Rob Pelinka this at a press conference and be like, so we made a trade, we traded Dalton Connect for Max Christie, and Max has kind of balanced out the rotation, like it really kind of has been that kind of difference. You know, and I think D'Lo is still going to be kind of up and down as he still kind of comes to grips with this next stage of his career. But overall, like, Minnesota, tough loss there. Memphis, good win. Both wins in Sacramento, I'm counting as good wins. Golden State in Golden State, good win there.
Yeah.
Like, these are not, this is not the run that we saw earlier when they won six in a row, right? Philadelphia was a mess at the time. Toronto was trying to lose this year. Memphis was a good win back then. San Antonio in San Antonio was a good win, I would say. New Orleans sucks because of all the injuries. Utah is trying to lose. This like, winning five out of seven here matters a lot more to me than even winning six in a row then, because of the caliber of opponents and the way that they're going about winning this. And by the way, like, you know, with Max being in that starting group, I think that makes a great case for Bruce Brown, you know, because like all of the stuff that Max is doing there, a healthy Bruce Brown does that stuff and is more offensively consistent than Max is. And then if you're able to keep Max in that trade, now all of a sudden you have Max coming off of the bench to maintain that defensive identity at the two spot. And like that, again, improves Austin no matter who was on the court with him. Bruce also has some juice, I think, on the ball too, that Max doesn't have. Like that, you know, we'll get into trade stuff later, but I think what this stretch has done has really kind of hammered home, hopefully, you never know if he's paying attention to these kinds of things and understands them, but I think hopefully it hammers home once again the kind of identity that the Lakers need to have. It's this bruising, you know, and physical kind of defensive identity that can also get buckets when they absolutely have to. This is how you won a championship before. This is how you won the in-season tournament last year. This is how I get, again, you're gonna have to return to this identity again this year. And I think Max has really kind of unlocked it.
He definitely has. I was just thinking your large adult son just started and now like you've already benched him and gotten another player.
I'm a tough dad. That's my kids. I'm a tough dad.
Already got someone to like replace him five games later after he's played well. No, Bruce Brown would be, I think he was the fit that the Lakers, they clearly wanted, because I think they went after him before Indiana.
They thought they were going to get him, and then Indiana overpaid him.
And then obviously traded him for Siakam, which, you know, turned out, I think, pretty well from them. But no, I think that like just off ball wing is who they're definitely looking for. Part of this also, Anthony, that I think should be noted is LeBron's just playing a lot better. I mean, LeBron's, I think, after his break after the Atlanta game, which, you know, that's a tough one to go out on. And I think he put a lot into the Atlanta game, and there was some, I think he had his just own personal player meeting. LeBron is just so big that he just had his own meeting with himself. Three people in the room, LeBron himself and I, in that room. And they, you know, I'm sure assessed the situation, but he's come back and he's looked awesome.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
He does things to DeRozan that, you know, is not legal in a few countries. He just, you know, puts DeRozan away. But yeah, the Detroit game, I thought he played well. Actually, in the Detroit game, they overpowered our guards in a way. And Detroit's a physical team. Also, Malik Beasley, 21 points. Does that guy just play well when he plays us? Just, it's the most annoying. It was just the most annoying player to watch when he was on your team.
Can you blame him though? Like, Lakers fans hated him, and then they let him walk for nothing. Like, If I were Malik Beasley, I would try to play my ass off against the Lakers too.
No, the frustrating part, Anthony, he's averaging like 17 a game on 40 plus shooting from three. He's having an incredible year.
Yeah. All right.
It's for the Pistons, but you know,
I think he's a low stake shooter. Like he's excellent when it doesn't matter. Like he's really good when it's like, whatever. I guess he was pretty good for Milwaukee last year. But again, though, like they got, as you got closer to the playoffs and as the game started mattering a little bit more, I kept on seeing more and more tweets from Milwaukee fans like, hey, man, is Malik going to make a shot? Like, stop holding up that stupid follow through on misses. Get back on defense. And I was just like, looking at it, I was like, yeah, I remember that.
Right, the follow through with the hip shake that he does when the games don't count. That was a little frustrating. But no, LeBron's been great. He had another great game last night. I think he and Steph, Anthony, are like one and two in just understanding the assignment. Those two, just every time they don't downplay it, they play it up even, which is awesome. And then LeBron closed it out by saying Christmas is ours, which was a little shot at the NFL, which I liked.
To say that, though, when like the NBA is like excited about the rating that game got, and then Netflix is like, actually 25 million people watch both of those shitty NFL games that we put on there.
I refuse to go to Netflix for sports. I refuse. I'm not going to Netflix.
I'm the guy who has been a little concerned about the ratings. Here's my thing. You either care about ratings or you don't. Like, right. to the other people out there who are covering the sport, you either care about them or you don't. Because the same people who, when the ratings were bad, were like, oh, well, people are like streaming games illegally, and like there's so many other things on, and that's not really how we should do the math anymore. And then the good rating came out and they're like, see, it's like, no, all right, which is it? Do the ratings matter or they don't? I'm of the opinion that they do, because you want people to like be able to, you want sponsors to be able to have some kind of mathematical and statistical thing that they can point to that would, you could sell stuff on, right? And again, like, you know, Odyssey is I told people about the new gig. Odyssey is moving me kind of into more of an executive role here as part of this new gig. And I have to care about ratings, because sponsors are going to be like, okay, how many people actually care about that Lakers game that you just spent an hour breaking down? How many people are actually tuned into this thing? And that's the thing in podcasting, is that like sponsors want to get behind podcasting. It's just that like these, you know, the Megaphones of the world, all of these other platforms that people put their RSS feeds on, they haven't been able to nail down what actually constitutes a download. And as such, sponsors are kind of reluctant to get behind podcasting in the way that they would if we had that figured out a little bit better. And if you're the NBA, if you're going to say, you either have to take the stance, which I think is a ridiculous one, but you either have to take the stance of ratings are fake, nobody knows, just enjoy the sport, move on. You can take that stance and then never care about ratings, even when they're good. Or, and this is the stance that I'm of, this is the opinion I'm of, is like, ratings are always going to matter because we want to know how many people are actually watching this thing. That crowd and those ratings are going to tell you when you're doing things poorly or well. And if you respond to the things that you are doing well and you start to hammer down some of those things that you're doing well and get that momentum more consistently going in the positive direction, that's how your sport grows. And we should all be in the business of letting the sport grow, making the sport grow.
100%. And Adam Silver definitely cares about ratings. I mean, this is why the All-Star game is changing every single year. This is why we have this Emirates Cup. That's why we have this in-season tournament. These are things to get ratings boosted, right? These are reasons to add national TV games. I think you should always want to improve the sport. You always want to, you know, add viewership. You want to always get engagement from fans. My only issue with the rating conversation, I understand it from people in the business or, you know, are directly related to it or, you know, have some type of impact from it, like you and I both do. But I think the idea that the NBA is going anywhere or that, you know, the NFL is just going to take over and eat everybody and just, you know, I guess swallow all of these sports in one. Like, the NBA is not going anywhere. They just signed a bajillion dollar TV extension.
Nobody was ever saying that the NBA was going to collapse, but you can't get lapped the way that the NBA was getting lapped by the NFL and not be like, all right, is there anything that we could learn from the NFL? You want to know what the lesson is from yesterday, Raj?
What is
you
that?
Want more of these events, these tentpole Christmas Day events to be able that your fans know about year in, year out. And you want to be able to put your best product on the court in front of those eyes in that kind of a setting as you possibly can, as consistently as you can. And in those stretches between those tentpole events, you build up those marquee players and teams that are going to be playing in those tentpole events. This isn't fucking rocket science. This should be figured out by now. But Adam Silver is sitting here trying to like be buddy-buddy with the NBPA. And it's like, no, man, your job is to grow the game. You did a good job selling this current TV deal, but Mark Cuban is out there telling people publicly and privately that, hey, we were all a little nervous about what the next TV deal is going to look like after this one. And that, Adam, is where you got to start figuring out this stuff, and we can't just put our head in the sand. And like, look, you're right. You're right to point out that he is trying these other things to try to create these tentpole things. But the reason that Christmas was as successful as it was because it brought that history of the sport into it. It brought that tradition into it. People are used to on Christmas tuning into basketball all game long. I thought it was brilliant that ESPN did that Disney thing. That Avery was absolutely zeroed in on that shit whole game long. She was all about Mickey Mouse giving Victor Wembanyama buckets. She loved it. And that's great. Like that, try stuff like that out that actually like markets the game to these different generations. But the first thing that you got to narrow down is how do you more consistently recreate the passion and the give a bleep that we saw in every single one of those basketball games from the morning all the way through to the nightcap.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy, but it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow. And their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.
The first few weeks back at school set the tone for the entire year. But with new teachers, schedules, and expectations, it can feel like a lot. If you're looking to help your child start strong and stay confident, I've been using IXL to make that transition so much easier. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, it adapts to each child's level and pace, making it easy to spot and close learning gaps in just a few minutes a day before those gaps can snowball. Plus, it's trusted nationwide. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL, and it's used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. It's an easy, cost-effective way to get kids back into a learning routine and walking into class feeling ready and reassured. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
That's why when my whole thing on this is I think we do have a really good product. We just don't sell it well, right? And the most frustrating part of that Christmas day, Anthony, was the halftime pregame. Like, what in the world were they talking about? Did not sell the game. Did not sell the players. We had MJ, LeBron, MJ debates going on, like, in the middle of this. Malika Andrews said one stat about LeBron, and Stephen A. took it as if she said, like, she said something super, you know, destroying about Michael Jordan. Kendrick Perkins,
Stephen A.'s bad for the NBA. Like, yeah, it's just...
No, but, like, that's what I mean, though. I think that's where the part of this... The NFL, again, I don't watch football, but, like, just from what I see and from the conversations that I see on Twitter, they sell the sport very well. But they sell team versus team, it feels like, Anthony, more than player versus player, which, again, is an advantage to them. And I think when you have less regular season games, it just... builds up the importance of every single one. The NBA will never get to that point where they can sell 1 out of 82, where the NFL can sell 1 out of 17. That's just an issue that they have with their sport. That's not going anywhere. But I do think there's a way to sell it better. But I still think some of this rating conversation is a lot of people who have it don't really care as much as, you know, it feels like they do online. But it is an issue. It is something that the NBA is looking at. Adam Silver is looking at, and there's ways to improve. It's just, I think it's gotten to a weird place where either all or nothing on one side or the other on the ratings conversation. So, but yesterday was awesome. The Lakers went, the NBA went 4 for 4 on NBA Christmas games. The last game was, you know, a blowout in Phoenix's favor. But other than that, those are 4 super exciting games. All of them close, all with big teams, all with big time stars that played well.
I do hope, though, and I tweeted this out when the numbers came out today, I do hope that one of the things that the NBA takes from that number that they got, best rating in 5 years, whatever it was, that, like, yeah, the NFL dwarfed the league's number there. And it dwarfed Lakers Nuggets as well. It's going to continue to dwarf it. The NFL is at this point a perfect machine. It is just a ratings machine. It's easier to gamble on. Fantasy football is a monster. It's the perfect product because you only have, you know, 18 weeks of it, and then you have playoffs right from there. Every one of these games matter. I am never going to make the case that, like, the NBA should be getting NFL numbers, because it's just not that kind of a product. However, I do think that the NBA should, like, figure out how can we create these moments? Because, you know, in today's age, in today's TikTok age especially, everybody's looking for viral moments. Everybody's looking for, like, the thing that people are going to be talking about. And I think Christmas is that thing that people talk about. I went to my brother and sister-in-law's yesterday, And the first of the games was on between the second game was on between Baltimore and Houston, and Baltimore absolutely beat the shit out of Houston, and it was a complete blowout. And I was like, well, hey, if this is kind of a blowout, you know, do we mind putting on basketball here? And they were like, oh, who's playing? And I was like, well, I live here in Texas. I was like, Dallas is playing, you know. Unfortunately, Luka got hurt, so that kind of took away from some of the momentum and interest in the game from that on. But it was like, oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, let's put that on. This Texas team is getting their butts kicked. Let's put on that is me just saying nice things about a sport.
Sure.
You know, like that is me just like being like, hey, this game kind of sucks. Can we put on this other one? And like, you know, it's all background noise for the most part anyway. Let's put, you know, can the Lakers or can the league find a non-Lakers Warriors product that like competes as background noise in those moments and outside of Christmas Day when we're kind of trained to care about that stuff. I think they need to do a better job of TNT nights. I think they need to do a better job of Saturday night. I don't know why the NBA doesn't own Saturday night. You could own Saturday night and you could carry it, especially once the NBA or the NFL is over, the NFL season's over. You could carry Saturday night on through into Sunday morning where you have those marquee ABC matchups starting in, I think it's like January, February. Like those are things that like the NBA needs to figure out a way to do that. And I think you're absolutely right to comment on ESPN and their marketing of this, because you have a shitty pregame show. You have a halftime show that basically exists so that Stephen A. Smith can get a TikTok's worth of takes off. And then after the game, there isn't even a postgame like conversation about it. There's nothing. It's just like, we'll throw to a Sports Center where Scott Van Pelt is going to jump immediately into NFL highlights. Like,
right.
Well, what are we doing? Like, you know, ESPN, you're paying so much money for the sport. You may as well actually like do it justice.
Right. You know, just my final thing on this, Anthony, is that I think the NBA kind of won the battle and lost the war with how that you were talking about the viral moments, and they really wanted to win the online war, right? The transactional war. The NBA is, you know, relevant 365 days a year, almost just because of this online transactional phase where, you know, a guy gets traded for a second rounder and it blows up, right? It's, oh my God, they got this guy for a second rounder. And in reality, that player really doesn't impact the game as much as the online attention that they did. And you saw this, I thought, even on Christmas, they opened up, Anthony, with the Jimmy Butler trade request. Miami doesn't even play on Christmas. And like, I'm not saying don't break it down. I'm not saying that that's not something that should be mentioned. It's just that was their, I think, opening line, or at least their second spot on the block. It's just, that's the stuff to me where I think there's a place where you can sell the sport better. There are young stars in the league that should be pushed. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is awesome. OKC has way too few national TV games. Minnesota has Anthony Edwards. Like, these are star, and Anthony Edwards is starting to get commercials and stuff like that. But I think there's a way to sell these stars. Obviously, LeBron and Steph are still going to get the high ticket and get the viewership and all that. But there's a way to usher in the next generation in a way that I feel like we're not doing, where everything's a comparison and attack on the star. I'm not saying you have to push positive propaganda, but I think the way the NFL does it is awesome. And I've heard some of their pregame conversations, how they compare players, and that guy Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth. Yeah. Does a nice job to me, and the way he kind of speaks about players, and he pushes up Mahomes in a way where he doesn't compare him every second to Tom Brady. It just feels like he
compares every other quarterback to Mahomes.
All right. Well, don't watch many of the other games.
Every time somebody like runs and throws a ball, like slightly off platform, he's like, did you see Patrick Mahomes there? Oh my God. Anyway, let's wrap this up. We have a couple starred comments here, which will take us into some of the trade talk. So I'll go ahead and do the TV producer thing that seems to be. Stop watching! All right. First one here comes from Justin Tindall, writing, Pelinka is absolutely gun shy since the Westbrook trade. D'Lo won't be a Laker next year. Beasley was gone. Vando injured. We got a Western Conference finals from pieces from the Westbrook trade, but nothing left from it. Don't expect Rob Pelinka to do anything. All right. Here's what I'll say. I did kind of chuckle today because the big headline going around is that the Lakers are, quote, willing to move, their first round picks for players who would improve their team. That's good to know. I think it would be bigger news if they weren't, but whatever. I digress. We need to, as a member of the clicks society, we need to get those clicks. I will say that I have heard nothing whatsoever about, you know, from anybody close to the Lakers, around the league. The Lakers are going to do something at some point. And the Lakers currently sit 17-13. They are atop the Pacific Division. I need to see what the Clippers wind up doing tonight, because that would obviously change it by the time you guys are listening to this in the morning. But yeah, the Lakers are right there in the West. They're in that like 4-5 seed area. They have done, I think, enough, maybe not more than enough, but I think they've done enough to, in my opinion, prove to the front office that this thing is worth investing in.
Yeah.
I think that message has landed, based on what I've heard, that message has landed with that front office, and they are going to be very active this deadline to try and go out and get a two-way wing, a big, and I think, depending on if they send out D'Angelo Russell, they know that they have to get some more creation to make up for his departure. One little tidbit here, Shams, I think the more notable thing that Shams reported is that the Lakers are looking for players who they can trade for and be upgrades now, and then will also be good for the next 3 to 5 years. I don't think that fully takes Jonas out of the picture, because he's on a 3-year deal, but I do think like there's a reason he isn't the Laker now. Especially we are now, let's see, it's like 10 days after the unofficial start of trade season. Jonas is still not a Laker, and that's with AD now nursing an ankle injury. I think that's probably pretty noteworthy. I haven't heard anything specifically. I continue to hear like that, you know, Washington is asking for a little bit too much for Jonas because of the situation, because of the perceived desperation, and that the Lakers are going to would prefer to, you know, ride that out. If Jonas was available for 1 second rounder and like Gabe Vincent, I think he would be a Laker right now, but that isn't what the asking price is right now. And the Lakers are not interested in going above it. So, but what do you think about the notion of like, you know, them potentially doing enough as offensive as it is that LeBron and AD need to prove themselves to Rob Pelinka? But the notion remains the reality that is the case. What do you think they've done enough?
That's funny. This is how I know I'm starting to understand, I guess, how the sausage is made a little more, because I heard that Shams report, Anthony, and my first thought was, oh, you want a player that's good now and later? Shocking. You know, like you want a young player that's
no. good. Yeah.
You want a player that's like 26 years old that can play now and play, you know, later on. No, I think, you know, the Lakers are only 2 games back of the Mavs, who are, you know, absolutely looked at as title contenders. They're what, 3 or 4 games back of the 2 seed. You flip a few of these games here and you're right there. As again, I look at it as if you're a team that has home court in the first round, you have a chance, especially if you have LeBron and AD on your team. I just think 3 straight road, you know, series are rough, but if you can get in that top 4 area, and LeBron has only missed 2 games, AD, I'm not even sure if he's missed a game, maybe missed one during that, maybe the Warriors one I would count as a missed game, but you look at it 17-13, you're right. I think they have shown enough to like invest in. I'm, you know, still kind of skeptical about like what move they actually make or how many first round picks they throw in. I think one will definitely get put on the table. I think two, it's going to, you know, have quite a haul that needs to come back. But I agree with you. I think they will do something. My thing is, like, we've heard this for a while now, and that do something usually comes in February or it comes late January, which a lot can change from now to then. And there's a like trying to do the perfect deal type situation that I think goes on, this paralysis by analysis, however that phrase is said. And that's how I feel like this front office continues to move. Maybe we'll get the, you know, we're adding Vanderbilt. That's our December move in January, whenever Vanderbilt returns. So that's still my concern. I could see us back up big, being, you know, I'm still not a huge fan of Jonas Valanciunas, a name that you just mentioned, but I could see that being, I guess, the small move, the temporary move until they get to the big move in February. That's kind of, I don't see a big roster changing move coming, or a huge kind of, you know, multiple first round pick move coming in late December or early January.
Banking has stood still for decades. Slow, clunky, and designed around its own convenience, not yours. Mercury was built to end that. Fast, elegant, and works the way you'd expect best-in-class software to work. No fighting outdated systems. No nickel and diming. Visit mercury.com to apply in minutes and experience the difference for yourself. Mercury is a fintech company, not an FDIC-insured bank. Banking services provided through Choice Financial Group and Column NA, members FDIC.